Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy, of course. Giant thank you to Aaron Gold. And in case you haven't noticed yet, I am sick. I've been sick for the last few days. I know last episode I had a back injury. Today I'm sick. I'm falling apart, guys. Nah, I'm getting better. It's a sinus infection, which I never had before. I apologize if this intro sounds weird or bad. Still want to record an intro anyways, because, you know, it's Thanksgiving just passed, and it was a really great holiday. I was really happy to get home and visit. And I'm happy to be back in New York. Today's guest is one I'm very excited about that I think you're going to really, really enjoy. We're going to talk about my web series Seamless, which is currently in production. You can catch the last three episodes tomorrow night and the next 2 weeks after that at 10 Weeks a Show. We talk all about that. Let me think. I'm not going to give a film review or a play review or anything like that today, just because I'm really tired from talking already, and I'm trying to get myself back to full speed ahead. I should be pretty fine by the time tomorrow happens. I'm on antibiotics, and things are still looking up, guys. I do want to say go to The Onion. There's a really amazing article written right now that my friend Matt Hunziker wrote for it. I know they never actually say who wrote the articles, but I talked to him and he said that he wrote this one. The headline is, "Frustrated Gunman Can't Believe How Far He Has to Drive to Find Nearest Planned Parenthood." I'm going to read that again because it is a brilliant headline. "Frustrated Gunman Can't Believe How Far He Has to Drive to Find Nearest Planned Parenthood." I don't really normally go political at all on the show or anything like that, but that headline, that article hits the mark. Yeah, I know. That sounds such a weird thing to say for that hitting the mark, but I mean, it's a great headline. The article is also great, too. I should change the subject from that, because this episode's a really good episode. I'm very proud of it. So, and if all goes well, I will be back to normal speed and everything next episode, which I'm really excited about because I recorded that before I got sick, and love the guest too. And I'll see you guys after the Hit the Mark. Bye. Hit the mark. Hit the mark. Oh, baby, baby. Okay, so I don't know where that came from, but apparently I'm a 90s pop star now. But I'm really excited. I got a guest that I'm really excited to have. Great friend of the show, great friend of mine. He hosts an incredible show that is going to be, I believe, week 8 now. I don't know what week it will be. Well, in our timeline, 6. it'll be week 8 when this airs, I think. So, of 10 Weeks of Show, which is an incredible show. I can definitely say that because I've attended all of them. And he's on an amazing team, Garbage Farts. He's got a great YouTube page. He is hilarious. He is the one, the only Mike Muntner. How are you, man?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming out today.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. I mean, I want to start by saying, thank you so much for the opportunity in 10 Weeks of Show. As listeners might know, I have a minute-long thing every episode, every week, where I have been creating a weird live web series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was rewatching it before I came over here, actually. Yeah, it's funny. You know, when I'm hosting the show, I don't get to watch every act as much as I'd like to, so I just wanted to, you know, refresh myself on what's going on. And it seems like you're this pizza guy that's really just kind of like had your world flipped upside down.
It gets weirder. It's going to be very weird by the time this one airs. trust me, this one, because we actually lost one of the actresses for the rest of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you kill her? Is that what happened?
We killed her because, well, we did kill her. In that episode, or initially that episode was going to be a fantasy sequence.
Okay.
But that did not happen. so that is now the real timeline of the thing. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll just double down on the weirdness. Because that's, you know, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if we're not going to get weird now, when are we going to get weird, right?
It's pretty weird.
But I mean, like, what I love though about Tim's show is like the fact that you host a show that every week is a fully different show.
Yeah, it's been really it's really difficult. It's hard because, you know, like most people, I also have a job. I mean,
You're a teacher.
I'm a teacher. Yeah, I mean,
and the show's at 10:30 p.m.
Yeah, every Wednesday is really hard. The last time I ran it was on Mondays at 11.
Which was worse,
I guess. It was definitely worse, yeah. And so every Tuesday was horrible. But it's exciting to get to do it and to also get to see such wonderful acts every week.
Yeah, I mean, in the six that we've seen in our timeline, granted, there'll be one more since, like, after, by the time this one airs.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Side Coaches this week, and this will be airing the week after that.
Yeah.
Before the next one. So, yeah, I mean, I've really been very amazed by, like, the level of talent and awesomeness of people you booked.
Thanks. Yeah, it's tough. You know, like, I have a big Google spreadsheet that I've been using, and I use the same one that I used the last time, so I just get to see like where I am compared to the previous run.
Okay, also. So where are you compared to the previous?
I mean, I've kept like a lot of the weeks the same.
Right.
So like week five, the last time was also a music show, just like it was this past week, and week six, the last time was also Side Coach,
which I still have nightmares from.
Oh, from last time?
Yeah, I actually felt like the worst improviser in the world after my set.
So just to be clear, right? So what Side Coach did?
Yes, we should explain
for improv coaches, like bigger people at UCB, and about 30 some odd improvisers, and the coaches get to pick teams, like a draft, basically, and they go one by one, and they get to, you know, pick teams. Someone is last picked, and they have teams of around 8 people that they then get to side coach up on stage.
If I'm not mistaken, Martin Ryder was the last
one. Martin Ryder was the last picked last time.
Because he was very proud. He told me, I don't want to be anywhere but the last.
It's scary, though. I mean, it's probably one of the most nerve-wracking shows, I think. And there's like a cool, nervous energy there when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just really excited for definitely the biggest cast size one of my things so far. Also.
The biggest cast?
Yeah, the cast is double.
Who did you book? Because it's already happened.
All right, so I will let you know. I pray they're all able to show up. I'm sure most of them will. So it's still going to be Corey, myself, and Kat. Also, Scott Friedstein's going to be in it. Nick Vitale.
Okay.
Annie Wooler. Okay. And Dan Titmus, who you might not know. He's on the team Prisoner that I coach, and he's insanely funny.
Cool.
And he's only able to do it 1 week, so I'm just gonna do something fun with his character.
That's fun. Yeah, I mean, that's gonna be probably the biggest audience that
the show has. It's just funny because, like, it's gonna make sense, but it's not gonna make sense at the same time.
Your 1 minute, yeah.
Yeah, which is totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, man. I'm excited. I'm happy to have the opportunity because I've been wanting to do something like this for a long time. And the fact that you're giving me the opportunity to do this is great.
Yeah, I'm happy to. I think it's I think it's a funny idea.
But obviously, we'll talk more about this later. I just wanted to initially say thank you for that. I mean, how's your weekend been?
My weekend has been okay. I'm a little bit under the weather. That's why I'm drinking nonstop. I've been drinking tea.
Yeah.
I went to a fun show the other night. I'm editing a video right now.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yeah. So Drew Lester and I have been working on Garbage Farts videos.
Which Garbage Farts is the funniest stuff in the world, in my personal opinion.
Thank you.
I just love the fact that like what you guys do. I don't want to like explain it because I think it's
fine if you do. I don't care if we give away our jokes.
Okay, every time the guys have a different accent and are the best improv team from that from that country or that region.
Sure.
And you talk for like 95% of the set before you get the suggestion, and then you guys normally... I know sometimes you guys have done your normal, like your real accents.
Yeah, we've... You know, like, it's Garbage Farts has evolved, I think, to the point that it's like, if when we're doing it, this is what we want to do. Yeah. We're just going to keep it in character the entire way through.
Yeah. But, so you guys work on
videos. So, yes, we made about 6 videos over the past 6 months, but we haven't really been editing them yet. So I started working on one video this weekend, and Drew's also been editing some. So it's, we'd like to have like a video show, I think, in January.
Oh, cool.
And just show all the videos and then release them like one by one.
Nice.
On the internet.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm trying. I gotta get my hands on a better camera. I really want to do some more video stuff. Like, I got some really weird ideas that are a lot better for video than they are for just live.
Yeah, it's everything's different. You know, some things I think work better live than work on.
I mean, that's probably a reason why I'm very happy to have this minute long tape thing.
Yeah, it's a weird middle ground.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's cool because I like the idea of having doing a live show, like a web series, taped in front of an audience.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's funny. Like, as I was watching your videos today, I was imagining it like as if it was a video, and I could see that. I just see this pizza guy, you know, like coming, you know, delivering pizza, and he's just thrown into this like fucked up world where he has to murder a roommate.
Yeah.
And like I could see that happen. I could easily see that happening on film.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, and also I'm really, it's one of those cool things, like when because you and Drew Lester have been basically comedy partners for as long as I've known you guys, and I've known you guys for a long time.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I met you guys when Time Cop was popping.
So our first improv team was my first improv team, Drew's first improv team was Time Cop. Daryl Haynes put that together.
First guest of this podcast.
Was he really? That's
first
funny.
First guest ever, yeah.
So Daryl Haynes put together Time Cop from the Improv Jam. So, you know, way back when this is in 2011.
Yeah.
I started going to the Improv Jam when I was in 101, and I think Drew and Daryl also did around that time. I was nervous. I was so nervous before my first
jam.
No, before my first show. You know,
oh my
like,
God, yeah.
You know, like your very first improv show. I remember I was taking 101. Amber Petty was my first teacher.
Oh, really? She taught 101.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She taught my 101 and my 201, and I was during that time, and I remember feeling like I would like to have already performed improv on stage before I have my first show, which is like a big, you know, when you're in 101, it's a really big deal.
It was scary. I mean, I have a theater background, and I remember my 101 class. I was just shaking before my first show. I was it was on the Chelsea stage.
Yeah.
At like 3 p.m. on a Saturday. I was shaking.
Yeah. So I did, you know, I would go to the jam. So I started in 2011, you know, fall of 2011. And Daryl, you know, would also go to the jam, and people that he was like, oh, you're funny. You're a funny guy.
Yeah.
Like, be on this team. So Drew is someone that I've been performing with since 2011. Alex Estrada is someone also, but yeah.
Right, Alex Estrada. Well, he was on Time Cop too, right?
He was, yeah. He was also on Time Cop, but
Jesus, it sounds like everyone in Time Cop still likes each other except for Daryl, right? Well, I mean, he's on the other coast.
There were other people on Time Cop too.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
but yeah. You know, like, the videos that I have, like, that are on my YouTube page, Allie Bernstein, she's in a number of my videos, and she was also on Time Cop.
Right.
She joined later. So when Time Cop broke up, like, Drew and I continued to do comedy together. Alex and I and Drew also would do stuff together. Like, the three of us will do a Jolly Rancher show if anyone will book us.
Oh, I'll book you guys.
Sure, yeah.
We'll
do it. We'll do a show.
I have no issue booking any Muttner-related stuff.
Thank you.
And Drew and Alex, sure, yeah.
Yeah, they are great.
Actually, they are great.
Really,
and, like,
they're really funny.
They're also, like, really genuine people, which is, like, a thing that you don't really... I feel like... You get to a certain extent in this community, but like I feel like a lot of people have like ulterior motives of being genuine. Sometimes.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, like, I just... What I'm trying to say is they're good people.
They
and
are.
I enjoy
they really
company.
Are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I enjoy any time I get to work with them. I enjoy getting to hang out. Like, Drew and I... And Alex also, you know, like, if we're given an opportunity to do a show, great. If we're given an opportunity to hang out, just as good. You know, like, we want it to be an enjoyable time, whatever
totally.
It is that we're doing.
Nice, nice. So, tell me, like, what was your big, like, comedy or acting inspiration growing up? I mean, I know you don't come from a theater background.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, I can, I'll share with you, you know, when I applied for advanced study, you know, they ask you,
that silly question.
Who's your comedy inspiration,
I
think. So, mine was Chris Farley.
Of course.
Because And I don't know that I live up to his standard, but, like, I remember...
Your comedy is different from him, for sure.
Oh, yeah. But, like, a big thing for him, and I guess it's a good way to go about improv, is, like, he would always go so full into whatever it was he was doing. Yeah. You know, he would put his entire body into it. And I really, like, that I think is inspiring, you know, to get to just put everything that you have into a scene, into a piece of comedy.
Oh, I totally understand that. Like, it's funny, I've been watching a lot of, like, random old SNL sketches in the last many years, of course. I found myself, like, still obsessed with the Hurley He Boy sketch. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I'll remind the audience. Because, like, I mean, it's such a funny one that I feel like people don't really remember. Mm-hmm. It's like Adam Sandler is this guy who's, like, probably mentally ill.
I'm going to be honest. I lied to you. I don't remember. Okay. So I'm really happy that you're recapping.
That's good. I'm fine explaining the sketch.
I don't know why I lied.
Adam Sandler's, like, in a blonde wig. And it's, like, a close-up on him.
Okay.
And he's like, ha, while you're away, let me watch your dog. Watch it. He's just like, please let me watch your dog. And then the camera pans to the side. You see Chris Farley already sweating. like, let the boy watch your dog. Like, and it escalates a lot. Like, and it's like, it eventually gets like the point where it's like, let me live with you. Please let me live with you. And then he's like, let the boy live with you. He's clean. He'll wash your grandma. Like, something. It's so funny. It's a 5-minute long sketch where basically the Sandler's like crying with laughter by the end. And like Farley is just like his like the sweater he's wearing is like halfway up because his arm is like flailing and it's.
I always think about him like when it's him and Adam Sandler and I think David Spade and they're like those girls.
Oh, the Gap Girls.
The girls like eating.
Liar off.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. I mean, I loved the movies that he was in. They were so great.
What was your favorite one?
I mean,
I thought you were gonna say Tommy Boy.
Yeah, I mean Tommy Boy is great, but I even liked
Beverly Hills Ninja inspired me because I was a huge nerd for him. Like, I think Beverly Hills Ninja was my favorite of his.
I think that it holds up a little bit. You watch it, but I have bad taste in movies. I mean, like I have good taste in movies.
Yeah,
but like I'll joke about this, but I think Norbit is a funny movie with Eddie Murphy.
I respect your choice.
Like, I know it's bad. I know it's a bad movie.
The thing is, I love bad like movies that
there was a lot of
one of my favorite bad movies of all time that like no one likes is Eurotrip.
I think Eurotrip is funny. I think Eurotrip's a funny movie.
Like, I feel like when I tell people like that like it, they're like, you hate Catholicism. I'm like, no, I have no issue with Catholicism. I just find the movie very funny. And the ending is, it's a little dark for Catholicism, but
Eurotrip was much better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be really bad.
Also, it's got a great soundtrack, too.
Yeah. There's some good songs in there.
But, yeah, I mean, I love a good shitty movie.
I mean, I like good movies also.
Yeah, totally.
I definitely draw inspiration. I mean, well, I draw inspiration from Woody Allen, which I know has a bad rap for certain things.
We're both Northeastern Jews, so we're allowed to be inspired by him.
So, like, one of the Garbage Farts videos that will be coming out, like, we tried really hard to just, like, recreate a moment. Just a moment from, like, from Annie Hall.
Which moment?
Just, like, the idea of this long take. This, like, very long take. There's a part in Annie Hall, and it's, like, an uncomfortable scene.
Yeah.
In that there's just this kind of just a shot, like, a wide shot of the sidewalk, and you hear Woody Allen talking to his friend.
Yes,
and his friend's, like, calling him Max. And, you know, and Woody Allen is talking about, you know, his perceived anti-Semitism, like, that he experienced, you know, like, did you eat? Jew eat? You know, like that. Yeah. So just the idea of that, like that long take where you're not really sure what you're watching, but that was like an inspiration for something that we're going to be doing. Like, you know, like I think that some of the stuff we're doing, like it'll look really good. I don't know that it's funny. A lot of the stuff I'm just not sure if it's funny.
I will say this, like everything I've ever seen you shoot and everything I've seen Drew shoot has looked good.
Thank you. I mean, I don't know, like looking back at like, so looking back at the videos that I've been making, like since 2014.
Right.
I'm not sure that everything looks great. You know, like
they look good. I mean, they're most of the videos I've seen that you've done are very, very funny.
Thank you. I'll take that, but I don't know that they all look good.
See, mine look terrible, but like most of the time, it's probably the aesthetic.
It could be.
I mean, like, my Red Hot video that I did, which was my porno, purposely looked terrible.
Sure, if that's the goal, right?
I mean, it was shot on this couch. Mm-hmm. You saw, right?
Yeah, I did see it. I'm like, wait, there's a porno shot here.
For those that don't know, just look at Mark Levy's erotic fiction. Nothing really that pornographic happens on this couch.
Okay.
Most of it happened in California.
Oh, really?
I'm assuming. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
probably, right?
That's the easiest place to assume.
Okay.
It's actually a safer work video, kind of.
That's funny.
It's kind of safer work. But yeah, I mean, like, is it like, so when you start making videos, is that for Red Hot or?
Well, I used to make videos back in middle school and high school and college.
Right, yeah, I feel like everyone did that. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, some people did.
I mean, I did, but I mean, like, it comes from the point of, like, I'm an actor and I wanted to do stuff.
Yeah, I used to really, like, I used to want to direct a lot. Like, I did. I would direct stuff. I would write stuff. I would direct it. I read Mindy Kaling's book, and I drew, like, inspiration from that because I know it's different from her because she's an Indian woman and I'm a white man. So, like, clearly there are differences. But
both from the same part of the world, right?
I'm not from India.
No, I mean, like, you guys are both from, because isn't she, like, from, like, the Northeast?
I mean, I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
I don't
want to make an assumption.
I don't know. She might be from the Northeast. I know that she lived in New York also.
And you're from
Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island.
But one thing that she wrote about was that, you know, people weren't casting her in things, and that's kind of how I felt. Like, I'm like, no one's really putting me in their stuff, so if I want to be in things, I will make the parts for myself. Whereas in the past, I would write parts for other people.
Yeah.
And I still do that, but I want to be in my own things.
Oh, right, you have a part for yourself, too.
So the first video I made was for, I'd stopped making videos for about 8 years.
Makes sense.
You know, like, I finished college, and I got my master's, and I was teaching, and I just didn't have time. And I got into comedy. Drew Luster and Micah Phillips and Jared Wiles started doing Red Hot Video Fun Time, and they asked me if I would make a video. It was the first one I made in 8 years, and that was called A Proposal.
It's a very funny video.
And that was with me and Ali Bernstein. Thank you so much. And after that video, it was as well received as, like, something that I could make could be.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what I was going to do next, but I ended up deciding on making a video Harold. So basically, the videos that I put out at this point on my own YouTube page are the continuation of this Harold. So the last video that I just put out is A Proposal Part 2. So I've done the first three beats. I've done the first group game, and I did the first second beat. So that's where I'm at right now in my videos.
Holy shit. You never told me that you were, like, making a video Harold. That's incredible.
It's, like, a really long-term project. Well, I'm, like, a year and a half in to it.
And, I mean, like, if this was a real Harold, you're, like,
I'm way too long.
You're really 11 minutes in, like, it was a real Harold.
If this was a real Harold, people would be like, what the fuck is going on? I looked at what I'm at right now, so I'm at the first, second beat, and I'm, like, 25 minutes in. So it's going a little bit long.
Wow, some of those videos must be really long.
Yeah, well, the first few are, like, around 5 minutes each. Like, they're about 5 minutes each. The group game is, like, 3 minutes. This last one is about 4.5 minutes. Right. So I'm running long. I know that.
Delaney might not be mad with that. I mean, like, he's okay with a long Harold.
This will be long. I think, like, it'll probably end at, like, 40 some odd minutes.
Like, what you should do also is, like, edit it all together and have it be, like, a show.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think that's what I'd like to do. You know,
like just call Muttner's Harold.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it's done, I'm still really unsure what I want to do with third beats. Do I want just, like, one video that's all third beats? Do I want, like, a lot of little ones? I haven't decided yet. I'm not even sure
This is making me so happy.
I'm not really sure what my next second beat will be. I'm, like, a little nervous about it. You know, like, I have ideas, but I'm just not sure.
Cool.
But, like, that, the second video, I mean, I wrote it. Like, I don't know. It went through a number of rewrites. I'm not sure that it's funny. Like, it's been pretty mediocrely received.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, I feel like some of the weird videos I put online, like, people are like, yeah, it's cute.
Yeah.
You need better equipment. And I'm like, I don't have the money for it right now, but
there are people you can work with.
Yeah, I know. That's true. And like I know Mike like understands what I'm trying to do. Like, I'm trying to put together this one that's gonna probably be about 25 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. A video?
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean,
No, this is like epic. Like, there's like, it might not be it might be closer to 10. But like, it literally, the shoot itself is gonna be grueling.
People complain about my stuff when it's 5 minutes. They're like, that's way too long.
The funny thing is, I get no complaints about my ribbon dance video, and that's like 5.5 minutes
long. That's funny.
So,
yeah.
I have a sequel that I'm going to shoot with one of my coworkers who's an actual choreographer, like, who's a real dancer. So, I'm going to probably be in a leotard.
Doing oh, really? Dance.
Yeah. Probably, I don't know. I've got body issues.
I do too.
But yeah, no, I mean, I really respect people that can do video and like do it well.
Thanks.
And that's something they've been doing, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that like editing is a big part of it also, you know, and it's like...
Okay, you're making me feel like my ribbon dance video is too long now.
Well, I'm just, I mean, like, yeah. Honestly, one of the worst things someone told me from that proposal video was just like, oh, that was so long. And I was like, oh, all right.
Hey, that's why I'm happy with Seamless. They're all made long.
It's, you know, everybody, like, I was thinking about it, you know, people, like, every critique... It hurts a little bit, you know, just like a tiny bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've been getting criticized my whole life. I mean, that's part of my job as an actor, to mm-hmm. be, like, open and able to understand it and receive it.
Who is your best, who is your favorite improv teacher?
That's a hard one. I mean... There's, like, ones that, like got through to me early, like Gabris and, like, Chelsea Clark.
Okay.
And then there's, like, ones that, like really spoke to me, like Kevin Hines, Shannon, Brandy Gardner, Amy Gorelick, Becky Drysdale. Like, I mean, like, I've been very lucky, like, with my improv teachers. Maybe Chelsea Clark. I get what she's trying to do. Also, Gavin Spieler is also really up there for me, too. Yeah, I mean, Gavin's just... Because Gavin, even though he doesn't come with your background or anything like that, mm-hmm. he thinks theatrically, which I like that. Because I don't like improv teachers being like, yeah, like, just go find the funny. It's like, no, you're creating a character. You have to live in the world a little bit before you can laugh in the world, I feel like.
That doesn't sound as UCB-like. Right? Am I wrong to say that? Like
it, right, because it's funny because like, that just reminds me of like sort of a little bit like what Opera was teaching us in her class, mm-hmm. which was a very interesting class. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forgot that was the class we were in together.
Yeah.
I like separate things.
I understand that. I still remember one of her notes to you.
Which one?
You don't look happy here.
Yeah, that was I found that class to be a very difficult class.
It was a tough class. And it's weird because it was a high batting average class. I feel like a lot of people in that class were amazing.
Great people in that class.
And it was just pretty terrifying, that class.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about my, like, the best teacher, I think Lydia Hensler.
Lydia's really good.
That class also had incredibly talented performers.
I was in a rough Lydia class, but...
I've heard this about...
But she was really good.
I've heard this about, like, Abra and Lydia. People either, like, they love one and, like, hate the other, or vice versa, you know? And, it depends on, I think, people in the class, everything, but yeah.
I mean, Lydia is an amazing teacher. Like, wonderful. I had a great experience just, like, some people in the class, like,
she was great. She was so great.
And she was also great at 10 Weeks of Show.
She was really wonderful. You know, and I watched her character video after the fact.
Yeah.
It was this, like, really funny, this waitress unhinged. It was, like, really, really funny. Oh. This, like, waitress that was insane. I loved it. It was a great video.
So, what's, like, growing up in Long Island?
Well, I guess I went to a Jewish day school from
Same
kindergarten
here.
To 8th grade.
I went from kindergarten to 6th grade.
I was from kindergarten to 8th grade. It was like a small school. There were about 14 kids in my grade.
Oh my god, mine was like 60 out of those.
No, it was tiny. And so just one class.
Yeah.
And then I went to a public high school.
Did you have like a weird issue like when you went from a small Jewish school to... Because like I had the biggest issue ever when I went from like that to middle school. Like... Was picked on a lot.
I was briefly. Picked on so much.
Briefly, and then I felt like the drama kids, and I was happier.
I felt, in high school, I felt very alone. Like, my freshman year of high school was, like, a nightmare year. I really hated going to school. I tried not to go as often as possible. I was picked on for being Jewish, for being small. I mean, I remember, like, one of my first days of school, like, it was in my lab group.
Yeah.
And this one kid, shaved head, you know, like, completely shaved head. And we're just sitting there, and he is like, "Hey, are you Jewish?" And I, like, oh, it was just such a weird thing to be asked. And I, you know, this is America. This is Long Island. And I just thought,
yeah,
like... So I said, "Yeah, I'm Jewish." And then from that moment on, he made my life miserable.
Oh, was like, he like a young skinhead kid?
Yeah, basically. Jesus, I mean, he would Christ. Like, you know, I'd be walking down the hallway and he would just be stepping on the backs of like the back of my sneakers. He went through my notebook and ripped out pages. I had my homework stolen from kids in my class. They were just like there were a bunch of kids that were just picking on me. And in that moment, I felt like I really felt like that there was no one, you know, that...
That's so sad.
Like, there were other Jews in the school, but I didn't know them. They weren't my friends or anything like that. And it took like a few years before high school became okay for me.
Like, I remember in math in 7th grade, mm-hmm. I was like in the gifted classes because like, oh yeah, because I test into gifted.
Okay.
And like, I quickly became basically just honors and like regular or whatever, which is fine because like I never really cared too much about like academics and stuff like that.
Okay.
I care more about the extracurriculars, like, you know, like theater. But I remember distinctly this fucking shithead of a kid
mm-hmm.
who was also Jewish because most of my school was Jewish because okay. it was Miami.
Sure.
In the suburbs in Miami. And, like, he was asking me for, like, answers on this thing. And I was giving the wrong answers, but I didn't know it.
Oh, that's funny.
And they were, like, there was, like, three kids, like, making fun of me, like, right behind my back, like, while I'm doing this. And they're all, like, snickering, like, and then, yeah.
But you didn't mean to. You meant to give the right answers.
I meant to give the right answers. I was like, oh, yeah, it's, like, 8.
So they thought that you were fucking with this kid.
I think they thought that I was just a fucking idiot.
Oh, they thought you were an idiot, not that you were... Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a long time ago.
I mean, that was 7th grade. That's, for me, that was like 99 or so. Yeah. It was just like...
Yeah. I mean, high school is really a difficult time for me.
Yeah.
Like, I got involved in like a Jewish youth group.
Uh-huh.
I was involved in USY. And that was sort of like...
I've heard that group, yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of like where I felt like I could be cool, where I felt like I could be, you know, who I was.
What were you raised?
Jewish?
Like, what side? Like,
oh, conservative. Oh, okay. Conservative.
Yeah, I was raised Reform, so...
And, like, I still remember the moment when I was like, I want to be funny. I mean, like, I had this thought, and, like, I don't know that I mean, like, I'm sure that there were... that I already had... like, bits of funny inside of me. But I remember, like, in 9th grade, I just came to this realization, like, I want to be funny. And, like, in USY, I was able to, like, write plays and things like that. Most of them were, like, stupid parodies of, like...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Movies. Like, I wrote a play called American Chai. It was, like, American Pie, but anytime that they talked about sex, I just changed it to, like, praying. So it was, like, sort of subversive, and it went over really well.
Brain cherry?
Yeah, well, it was just, like, you know, like, I want to learn how to read the Torah, you know? Like, will you practice with me? Will you pray with me?
What would band camp be?
Band camp?
Was that mentioned?
I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember. Okay. I wish I still had a copy of that. I did Jewlander also, which was really bad. I honestly just copied the movie and just changed things to, like, Jew here and,
you know,
Jew there.
If you ever find a copy of those,
yeah,
I would love for it to be read and Never Have I Ever.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, someone out there might still have a copy,
yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know. I don't know what happened to the... I don't know. I personally don't. You know, when you're younger, these things don't hold value. So you get rid of them, you know?
My parents save everything.
Yeah.
My room in my parents' house is literally just... My parents are kind of hoardery.
Yeah.
But not so bad. But they're kind of hoardery. But, like, they save a lot of things.
I don't have scripts. I have still have videos. I've got like a lot. I have a nice shoebox filled with mini DV tapes of my old videos from high school and stuff.
So, where'd you go to college?
So for college, I spent my freshman year of college. I spent a year in Israel.
Oh, cool.
Half the year, I was like, I went to Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and the other half of the year, I worked on a kibbutz, which is like a socialist farming community.
Sorry, I'm like, yeah, I know what that is, but I'm like, wait, the listeners might
Sure, have yeah. So I did that. Then I went to SUNY Buffalo for a year, and I hated it.
All right.
And then I transferred to SUNY Binghamton, and that's where I graduated from.
Nice. So you were part of that big, like, SUNY Binghamton, like, improv crew?
Well, I tried out for it.
Yeah.
I got a call back.
Wow, I just realized this is my second SUNY Binghamton person in a row.
Who did you have?
Aaron Gold.
Oh, he's going to be doing... I don't know him, but he's going to be doing Side Coach.
Oh, cool.
He's one
Yeah, he told me he was submitting for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good people.
He's going to be doing that, or he did it, I guess.
He showed up. Whatever timeline we're in. Whatever timeline you want to think we're in, we're in.
Yeah, but... so I tried out for the team... And it was like a nightmare of an audition. Like, it's like, it was a 3-hour audition.
Yeah.
And I remember the beginning of it. It's like a room filled with like 30 or 40 people. Uh-huh. And like the people that were already on the improv team were like, run around. Like, that's what they told everyone. They're like, run around. And everyone starts running. And as you're running around, you're thinking, should I do this funny? Should I do a funny run? You know, right now?
Like, it's just silly walks.
So everyone like starts doing like these weird runs around the, like, everyone's getting like weird, like moving their, flailing their arms around.
Is everyone just straight up running still, like, at that point?
No, I don't think so. But it's just like, I thought that this run was going to impact whether or not I got on the team, you know? So then the first hour and a half of the audition, I think, was mostly like short form games, you know, right. Like, alphabet games, you know, like you can only say the next letter in the alphabet in your sentence. And I was failing. Like, I could not do that, you know? That's just not how my brain worked at that time. And then the second half was with different people, and that was more long form, you know, right. And I did much better with that. And so I got a callback, and I remember that I went for the callback, and we played this thing where they had written all these like funny scenarios down onto pieces of paper in a hat, and they had you like pick one out, and you would read it to yourself, and then you would be this character. You would be whatever character, whatever thing that you read.
So kind of like Party Quirks-ish.
Yeah. So, and it was with somebody else that had also gotten a callback, and I remember pulling it out and reading it, and just being like, and just starting laughing hysterically. I'm like, this is so funny. Like, you guys came up with this? And I was just laughing. And anyway, I did not get on the team.
Okay, well, they're lost. My personal opinion.
Thank you so much.
So you finished up there, and then where'd you go your master's program for?
So after I graduated college, I mean, like, I wanted to be a filmmaker. Like, that was really what I wanted.
Yeah.
But there aren't jobs for it. It's no one's like, hey, be the director.
I actually fully understand, because I remember, like, in, like, 8th or 9th grade, I was like, I want to be a filmmaker or an actor. I don't know which one. Can I be both?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't. I'll be an actor. I mean, I can still be a filmmaker, but,
Sure.
Yeah.
But, so I was, like, looking for jobs, but not really. I ended up interning at PBS. For like,
that's cool.
For a program called American Masters.
Yeah.
They make like documentaries on famous filmmakers and musicians and singers. So I do have an IMDb page as a production assistant for a Marvin Gaye documentary.
Awesome.
Which is, it's a great documentary, but I wasn't getting paid, and I was only doing like 3 days a week there, and I was just like living it up at home at my parents' house, like, you know, having like, what is that, like a, you know, 4-day weekend. Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I started applying for these alternative certification programs to become teachers.
Right.
So I ended up doing the New York City Teaching Fellows. And I started that, and I got my master's at City College.
Cool.
And they paid for it.
For a special ed, or?
Yeah, I have a master's of science in special education.
Great. And that's awesome. My mom used to tutor special ed kids, and like, yeah,
it's hard. I mean, this is the first year that I feel like I'm doing a good job. This is my 8th year teaching. That's the first time I'm doing a good job this year. There were a lot of years where it's just not easy.
Yeah,
it's just not an easy job.
I mean, I can't even imagine how. Yeah, like, but I mean, you're doing. I mean, that's
awesome. You don't know. You're not in the classroom.
I don't know. I'm busy selling salad to people.
Where are you gonna be? Where are you gonna be in 5 years, Mark?
Hopefully, but being off Broadway a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, at least, doing a lot more, paid acting. I mean, I've been doing some paid acting, which is a really nice
That's awesome.
Like, I mean, I've got a good amount of callbacks, commercial gigs and stuff like that. And, I have a great type. In the winter this year, All Is Fine in Sunny Florida has got a pretty big production happening.
That's awesome.
In the Lower East Side. So that's very really excited cool. About. Yeah, I'm working hard and I'm not taking prisoners anymore. I'm not I call the season No Judgments for this podcast, but I'm not judging or holding anything back.
That's cool.
I can't.
That's I'm crazy actually, that you've had 200 episodes.
Yeah. And number 200, in our timeline, I recorded yesterday the intro and I actually started crying at the end.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
It's okay. I'll tell you who it is now, because sure. I can.
Yeah, because it already happened.
Yeah, it was my parents.
Hmm.
Didn't know until they might have an idea.
Oh, so you were just recording the phone call with them?
No. I was in Miami a month ago or so. A little bit more than a month at this point. In our timeline, about a month.
Okay.
But in the listener's timeline, a little bit more than a month.
I feel like the more you talk about the timeline, the more confusing
it gets. Yeah, but I'm okay with this. Right. I don't care.
Okay.
It was my grandpa's birthday. Went down to visit. He was turning 90, which is awesome and amazing.
Wonderful.
And my parents said, yeah, you should be recording. I'm like, yeah, I should. They met for someone else. Because my dad's got a lot of interesting friends down there. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of people listening to podcasts down there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to record my parents. And in the first 5 minutes, they're so awkward but adorable.
That's nice.
Yeah. And I think it'll do well, the episode.
What is a good episode for you? What is a good amount of downloads or listeners?
It's weird because the game has changed so much in the 5 month hiatus I took. Because we had 6,000 downloads, we had 5,000 downloads in
an episode.
Overall.
Okay.
But there's now there's four episodes that are well over 1,000 downloads.
That's crazy.
And it's not New York or Miami or
it's all
like,
over.
It's literally mostly odd enough in the UK.
That's crazy.
Wichita is still really big. Wichita found the podcast
That's
early.
Funny.
I think.
I'll be honest, I don't expect this episode to do that well
the
for
The funny
you.
Thing is, every episode of the season's already had 200 downloads.
That's great.
So I feel like an average really good one is about 500 or 600 downloads.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So no pressure.
I'm not going to help this. I'm not helping you, you know?
You're not going to promote the episode no.
No, I'll promote
no.
it. That's not what I'm saying. I'll promote it. What I'm saying is I don't think that my name will do very much
The
for
funny
you.
Thing is, so did one of the other guests in the first three episodes, and their episode's doing really good.
That's great.
So
I got my first write-up ever, which was really cool for the second proposal video.
Yeah,
Comedy Cake wrote it up, which was
awesome.
Really nice.
It's so nice getting written up.
So nice that someone wanted to take their time and write something.
Yeah.
About what I did.
I mean, I've been very fortunate to be in Time Out New York twice this year.
That's awesome.
Once for the 12-hour set where they interviewed me and. And my name and my bit was mentioned with that's fucking cool for the cool show Not Lame.
Oh, that's awesome. Fest,
where I did my river dance for the second time ever.
That's cool. I think that you and Jared Weil need to team up.
We talked about it definitely. I know I told you about that. It'd be a really cool idea.
I would actually, I would almost want to see it as a video, a split screen of the two of you going at the same time. I think it could be really cool.
I think it'd be really
cool. And maybe it's this challenge almost, and the screen goes from one of you tries
you
to like,
direct
take
it?
One of you maybe I would work on that, but yeah, one of you starts moving over and taking over part of the screen, and the other one comes back pushing the screen over.
And that would also work with our actual natural personalities
yeah,
to a certain extent.
I think so.
We are good friends, so it's not it would hurt.
I think
us.
That could be a really funny
I think that'd be
funny
real.
Thing.
So yeah, we gotta get on that board. We gotta talk to Micah or someone about that. Or
yeah.
If you want directed too, or whatever.
Yeah, I'd love to work on direction. I mean, I definitely want someone to be a director of photography, because that, like, you know, like, as you get older, you realize, like, your strengths and your weaknesses, yeah. You know? And my strength is not
like, so probably, like, some, like, Micah, because, like, Micah is incredible.
He is. Drew is also, he's got a great eye.
I mean, honestly, like, when I was on set for 2 days with the Audio Boys doing Banana Bread, that was an incredible experience. Very scary experience. My family hates the video, and so does part of his family, but...
Sure, it is a monstrosity.
It's not really comedy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you never know, right? You never know what is comedy and what isn't comedy.
Yeah. Well, like, from my understanding, like, people are like, oh, yeah, it's funny until, like, Bardia starts stalking me. That's what people tell me.
It's sick, but, like, I mean, it's an interesting video.
It's well received. Like people have watched the whole thing.
Like, I did a video, it's called Potluck.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
And in that one, I'd say, like, the first two-thirds of the video, people find very funny. They're just, like the first third of it, it's funny. The second third, also funny. And then it gets really, really fucked up. Like, really fucked up. And people came up to me and said that it went too far, you know? But, like, in my mind, it was, like, there was some commentary there. I don't know. I
that's probably Harold, isn't it, right?
That is. That's the group game. That is a palate cleanser, you know? Like, it goes from that, from this fucked up shit, to go to, like, this romantic comedy, you know, which is a proposal part two.
So what made you decide to sign for UCB? I mean, I know that you were teaching away at that point for a little bit. So.
Yeah. I finished up getting my master's, and I had all this time, and I went on a trip. Uh-huh. I was in Thailand for 5 weeks.
That's so cool.
And
I don't travel. I think that's so cool that you do that.
Being a teacher allows you to travel, and so I was in Thailand, and I it was kind of a lonely trip. Like, I went alone, and yeah. You know, I met people while I was there, but there I just had moments where I could just think and be by myself. Yeah. And I remember, like, just sitting alone and coming to this realization that one thing I really wanted to do when I came back to New York was start improv comedy. Like, I just made this decision. I'm like, this is what I want to do. So when I got back, I signed up for my first class, and that was in my first class started in the beginning of September 2011.
Cool. Yeah, I was at that point, I was struggling through 401.
In 2011?
Yeah. I started March 2010, so...
Wow.
Like, basically, I moved to the city in 2009. I was like, yeah, I'll take an improv... Because I moved, like, in the summer of 2009. I'm like, yeah, I'll take an improv class eventually. For, like, cause I liked improv. I've done a little bit in Miami. Mm-hmm. I've always liked improv. Like, it'll be great for the resume.
Yeah.
And I like UCB TV show, and I've seen ASCAP before. I'm like, yeah, this will be fun. My 101 teacher was Gabriel, so I was, like, immediately, like, hooked.
He's great. I mean, I remember he subbed one of my classes, and I was like, you're the best. You're so funny.
It was
funny.
Really nice. I had him for 7 of the 8 weeks because he had to do, like, a college humor thing in, like, Austin. Actually, it was 8 days because it was the intensive.
Oh, wow.
But, like, it was at that point when the intensive was just, like, you know, like, one teacher the whole time instead of, like, two teachers.
Oh, okay.
But I had Chelsea Clark sub in that, and then, like, in 201, had... John Frusciante, which was a little bit of a different experience, but not, like, a bad one.
Yeah, I had him. I mean, I've had a lot of teachers. Like,
I've had, like...
I'm embarrassed almost that I've had so many teachers.
I probably had more than you.
You might have. You might have had more. You probably did have more than me. I mean you started in 2000... You started before me, so...
I mean, I'll say them aloud.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck.
Go for it.
John Gabris, John Frusciante, Doug Moe, another great one, mm-hmm. and a good friend, Shannon O'Neill, Kevin Hines, then it was Delaney, then it was Chelsea officially, then it was Gavin Spieler, Stephen Ruddy. No, Stephen Ruddy was before all of them. Of course, I gotta count Margot Lightman because I've done a lot of workshops with her. Will Hines, Lydia Abra, Chelsea again, Amy Gore, like, a few times. Becky Drysdale one time, which was awesome. Gavin again. Brandon Gardner. Oh my god, it's so much money. But yeah. Such great. I mean, like, I learned so much. Especially, like, I mean, I was so lucky to be in the play, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool.
I
got into one ASP. And
you were in the Carl's one, or was it Achilles?
My ASP was with Eric Tenoy.
Oh, Tenoy.
It was, like, Letters and Diaries. It was short. I mean, I've been in a bunch of, Ashes, you know, Advanced Study Heralds, but the Advanced State Performances. I think I got, I can only imagine, like, what my write-up is, you know?
I'm a little afraid what mine is, because,
I know that, I feel like there's some stuff in there that it can't be positive about me.
I feel like I know when that happened.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Mark. I agree with you. I think it was in that class.
But you were very funny in that class, so I could care less.
But whatever, you know, like,
I'm just... But, I mean, like, the thing is, like, we're doing our own thing. Like, you have a really good show. Yeah, it's got a little bit of trouble because it's, like, 10 weeks, and it's,
sure,
like...
Sure, isn't it? It's at 10:30 at night and, like, whatever, but...
But, like, you're putting out good content. Like, what you're doing also in the show, like, your, like, bit in the beginning is always good.
Thank you.
And I can say that because I've seen them all this
time. Thank you so much.
And I saw, like, 4 times in the first run of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I really, I'll be honest, like, I really didn't, like, this show takes a lot out of me.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that it takes a lot out of you, even just doing, like, a minute, you know?
It's
like,
really stressful.
Yeah.
And plus, since my job has been scheduling me to, like, 10 o'clock every Tuesday night recently.
It takes a lot out, but, you know, like, when I first started doing improv, I felt like there was this, like, clear set path that I...
There was when we started, but it splintered so much.
But you think when you start that you get, you know, like, well, I'll do this for, like, a year, year and a half, I'll get on a team, and then, like, that's just the next step.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just what will happen. It was so clear cut. It made so much sense. It was going to happen, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then you have your first... I remember my first Harold audition... And, like, afterwards, I was like, it was okay. Like, it was okay. Like, if everyone hadn't, like, I'm like, I could get on a team. Like, it was an okay audition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you don't hear anything, and I didn't get on a team, or I didn't get a callback. And then the second audition I had, I remember thinking, oh, I had one really good one, one good scene, one bad scene. Like, I could get on a team, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't hear anything back. And then the third Harold audition, I felt like I had, like, two strong scenes, you know, two good scenes.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything. And you get to a point, you're just like, well, I don't think that I'm going to get on a team. I don't think that's going to happen. And I'm okay with that. Like, I am. UCB has always said from the beginning, like, do
it's
more.
It's a training ground, yeah.
Do more stuff, you know? And, like, and that's what I feel like I'm doing. I can't do everything for their approval, you know?
I don't want to say fuck that, but I mean, like, honestly, like, I've been able to do a lot this year just by, like, the sheer will.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you. I mean, like, you put together, like, how did you even come up with 10 weeks of show? I think you told me this once.
How did I come up with it?
Yeah.
Well, I like the idea. I think that 10 is a challenging number.
It's a scary number.
I feel like even 8 would have been good, but I think, like, going into that third month, it just makes it something difficult. It's the same way, like, if we go back to Mindy Kaling, like, the idea that, like, no one was putting me in, you know, like, I'm not getting cast in videos, so I make my own videos, you know, and I put myself in them.
Yeah.
I wasn't really getting put in people's shows, so I made my own show. Like, the things that I wanted to do that no one was asking me to do, I just decided, well, I'll have this show that I'll get to do those things. So I have a musical show because I never was asked to get to do any of the, like, the musical shows
and
that came up.
I was backstage with Kat, who is a musical theater performer, and she enjoyed her stuff.
Oh, it was a nightmare for everybody. Like, Drew...
We were enjoying it backstage.
Yeah, I mean, people laughed. I felt like the audience was wonderful, you know? Like, but it's not like... I'm not a talented musician.
Oh,
you know?
I'm a terrible singer.
Yeah, so, but I put my all into it, you know?
I was actually tempted to sing in ours, but... Kira came up with the idea, like, no, it'd probably be better if, like, this is, like, a really bizarre one, if he's the only one that, like, just can't sing.
Oh, that's funny.
Since my character is almost the straight man, but not
Yeah,
really,
I think your character is a straight
which
man.
Which is weird, because I don't consider myself the straight man performer ever in anything.
But, yeah, I think your character is a straight man. I do a roast, you know, because that's something that I never got to take part in. And I did that the last run also.
When's the roast happening this time?
week 7 or 8, I think. I don't remember. I can tell you.
When was the roast? I don't remember the roast last time at all.
Well.
Wow.
I'll look it up.
Because I remember that you guys did the table read.
Yep, we do a table read also.
Was roast 10 last week? Last time?
No. I'll tell you. I think, actually, it might have been, the roast might have been 9. I don't remember exactly when it was. It was very funny. It's going to be great. We've got a really great lineup for the roast this time.
And that's going to be probably next week or so, right?
The roast? No. I'll tell you in a second when it is. Because like I'm looking it up right now. Because
like, it might actually be like tomorrow.
No, the roast isn't tomorrow. Oh, you mean for the show?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm getting confused.
Sorry. I'm so sorry, Mike.
So the roast this time, the lineup is, and I'm really excited about it. So the same people that did it last time. So it was me, Drew Luster, Jake Hyland, Alex Estrada. And then added to this round, assuming that they'll all still be there, it's Bardia Salimi, Lauren Brickman, Anna Roisman, Danny Grace, and hold on, is anyone else there? And I think that's it. Jake, Alex, Drew, Lauren, Anna, Danny, and Bardia.
Nice.
So that's going to be...
Are they roasting you?
They'll be roasting me and each other. So it should be mean. It should be really mean. The last time was really mean. I'm really proud of some of the jokes I came up with the last time.
Do you want to say them?
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you my Drew Luster joke, okay? I mean, I don't know how well it will go over with everybody here, but...
It doesn't hurt. I mean, he's an easy person to find.
But it was... it related to... Okay, so knock, knock.
Who's there?
Drew Luster.
Drew Luster who?
Drew Luster who, said everyone on the Herald audition panel.
Oh, fuck. That's funny. It's dark. That's really funny.
Yeah. So anyway...
I also love the fact that I right before this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So December 8th is the roast. December 1st. I'm going backwards a little bit. December 1st is going to be the pilot reading.
That will be, I think, the one... Is that the one right before this? I'm not sure.
So, this week is Side Coach.
Right.
Okay. The following week is a talk show.
Like so, the talk show is the one that's...
Is the 24th of November. Then it's the pilot reading. Then it's the roast. Then it's the final show, December 15th, which is the Holiday Spectacular.
Cool.
And that's...
I already know what I'm doing the last...
Awesome.
We actually... It's the one thing I pretty much knew from episode 2 onward.
That's really cool.
Yeah, man, I'm happy with this talk, man. So,
yeah,
like you're one thing I've always had a lot of respect for, and like I think we've always gotten along. It's just we never really had like one-on-one talks before for a minute or two.
Yeah,
And we're both sober, assumingly.
Yeah, I'm sober.
I'm sober too.
Yeah. Just drinking tea.
I'm not drinking anything.
Yeah.
Just high on life.
Oh, your heater. Will that come up on this?
A little bit. Yeah. I don't know because this is a new device.
Oh, is it?
When we're on hiatus, I learned during the Lily Brown episode that my microphone stopped working on my iPod.
Oh, no.
So I had to buy a new device. She recorded on her phone.
Okay.
Because honestly, phone microphones are a lot better than people think they are.
Have you ever like set up with like headphones and like
microphones? I've considered it, but like for the nature of this podcast, what we're doing right now is so much better.
Okay.
I mean, for those that don't know, I literally have a Sony little recording device, mm-hmm. And it's so great because I can go anywhere as long as it's quietish and talk, and it picks up great quality.
Cool. Yeah, I just want to do different stuff, good stuff.
Okay.
Like. Yeah, so 10 Weeks of Show is all about getting to do the things that no one else had asked me to do.
That's fair.
And what it ends up doing also is giving other people an opportunity to perform. Like, it's not like an improv show where at the end I'm going to perform. Like, I want to keep the show moving. And that was one thing I learned a lot in the first run. Like, a lot of them went so long. Like, I would have like hour and a half. Hour 45 minutes
and show. Now they're like 50 minutes long.
They're about an hour, you know, like they are.
I know, like last week was a little bit. Well, you say that two people drop out last.
Yeah, people dropped out, but I'm fine with it when it happens. Like, you know, it's a late night show. The first run, sometimes people dropped out and they didn't even tell me. Like, I found out afterwards. Like one person, he fell asleep before the show and he like woke up the next day and was like, "I'm so sorry."
Oh no.
And now
they're dead.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I really don't hold grudges about it. It's a late night show. Yeah. I think having a show that late also it gives me freedom, and it gives I think more people are willing to do the show, even though it doesn't always have a great audience, because it is a late night show, and they get to try stuff out that they don't have to worry about other people seeing and not liking. There's a freedom there because it's a late night show.
So let me ask you a question you asked me earlier.
Okay.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
That's a tough question.
52 weeks of show.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'll keep on doing this show. I don't know.
Right. I really thought it was gone after that.
Yeah. I mean, I did too. I thought about doing like one-offs here and there, you know, like 10 weeks. Because I feel like it's created a name, you know, for itself a little bit.
It definitely has.
Like, that was always a big thing for me. And I'm sorry that I'm like avoiding the question. But I wanted the show to be bigger than it was. Like, even if there isn't a good audience, or if there is, I want it to exist on the internet. So, like, I'll post about it every week. I also make sure there are always photos from every show.
I mean, that's same boat for all my shows that I host.
I just want to make sure...
Except for Never Have I Ever, where there's no video allowed.
I just want to make sure that it exists, that, like, people know about it. And people that have never been know about the show. I'm not saying everyone does. Clearly, a lot of people don't. So... It's funny, like, I've had this thought once about, this was maybe, like, a year or so ago, that I would, like, even if I got, like, a job at SNL or something like that, like, I would continue doing everything else that I'm still doing. Like, I would continue teaching, like, everything else. You know, and I would just do it all. And that's impossible. I'd love, in 5 years, to get paid to do comedy. Like... That would be such a great feeling. You know, like, I've never gotten paid to do it. Like, I've just lost a lot of money on it, you know?
I'm in that same boat, my friend. I'm literally in the middle of pitching a show to the Brit Pack that would be in December that won't be a huge financial burden, but could potentially make nothing back, and I want to pay the people.
Yeah.
Because it's a really cool idea that is tricky.
Like, on the first 10 weeks... I probably spent about $100 every show.
Every show?
Yeah, because...
Oh, because paying tech and also...
Paying tech, buying... I mean, like, I know it's stupid. I know it's stupid that I give out DVDs at every show.
I love it. Because as someone that's won 3 DVDs already this time...
Yeah, but it's like, is it necessary? Like,
no.
Does it make a difference? No. So in the first run, I was always, like, going to Kmart before a show.
Yeah, and, like, 3 DVDs or, like, 5.
Or more, you know? And then this time, Martin Ryder, because he moved to Chicago...
Makes me so mad.
He left me all of his DVDs, so I get to give them out. And I feel like the contests this time are, like, a little bit... I think they're better. I think they're a little bit more fun to watch than the last
time. Well, the first time, they were all, like, push-up contests.
There were a lot of push-up contests, you know?
Yeah, and I'm like...
I got some criticism for that, you know?
Yeah. Nice to make a lot of out-of-shape comedians do that.
It was funny. I thought it was funny. And now I get to, like, focus on different things, you know, like, make it a little bit more exciting. I think people like to watch people struggle to answer questions. I think it's really funny. I'm very excited for Side Coached, actually. Yeah. I made everyone that applied for Side Coach also tell me who their favorite comedian or performer of all time was. So I have a list.
Now I'm trying to remember who... I think I said Will Ferrell, probably.
You might have. It was great. For, like, the first 30-some-odd people that applied,
everyone... How many people applied?
Around 50.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the first... I mean, I had to reject people, you know?
Okay.
But the first... So the first 30, every single person put a different comedian. And that, like, blew my mind. Like, I thought that was so cool. And then after that, there were some repeats. Some dickheads put my name, you know?
Fucking Drew Lester.
Yeah. You're right. He was one of them.
Of course he was one of them.
Yeah, there were some... So anyway, the questions that I'm going to be asking, or that I asked...
Yeah.
This week will be about, you know, which person was this person's favorite performer and stuff like that.
That's so insane.
So it's just like it's a silly bit, but I think it'll be fun to ask these questions.
Cool,
you know?
Man. Yeah, like my two proud teammates got Fried Stein.
Yeah, he was
really excited they got into it, so.
It's great. It's like, and you know, like, we've
it's
got
a
some
fun
great,
show.
I'm really excited about the coaches, Ben Remeka, Riley Sloaner, John Escravis and Katie Sicking.
Yeah.
Sicking.
I think it's Sicking.
Sicking?
She's said it to me like three times once.
It's hard. Every time that I introduce performers on my show.
It's Scravis.
Scravis. Ugh. I mean, I emailed her. When I emailed her, I put in the correct email address, but I wrote Joanna. And then I wrote back immediately afterwards. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, spelled your name wrong. The last time was also wonderful coaches. The first time,
yeah, it was. Too. It was Kate Riley, Justin Lamb,
Molly Thomas.
Molly, yeah, and who's our guy?
And also Ken Beck.
Oh yeah, Ken Beck. Yeah, yeah.
It was such a great show.
It was also so funny that they were like sitting on stage the whole show.
Yeah, that's what I want to happen.
Are they going on stage during my thing too?
I don't know. Maybe we'll talk. Well, I'll talk to them about it. I'm not sure because they're like, it was very funny. I mean, like they were even like side coaching me hosting the show.
Oh God, I hope they don't interrupt because like, we have a lot of crazy. No, we have a packed minute this time.
So yeah, so we'll see. So they don't have to do that, but they, you know, like we're gonna have them pick teams and then you know each one will get to side coach a set. I'm really excited about it.
It's a really fun show. I'm really excited and very a little bit nervous, honestly.
Yeah, it is nerve-wracking.
Yeah,
like part of me wanted to be in it, you know, like I was jealous. I'm like jealous that I'm not, that I wasn't in it the last time.
Yeah,
but it's I like for this show I think of myself a little bit like the Ryan Seacrest of like American Idol, you know, like a slightly fatter, smaller, junior Ryan Seacrest.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. Because so you're the Brian Dunkelman of...
Brian Dunkelman? Who's... Wait, I don't know who that is.
He was the co-host of American Idol the first season.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but yeah. He was also skinny too.
Oh, was he?
Yeah,
but... I could lose some.
Whatever. Who cares?
But, yeah, he... So I just want it to be a good show. I mean, more than anything else, I want the show to be a good show. So if I'm in it too much, I don't think that makes it a better show, you know? So if I'm just keeping it running, keeping it working, I'm okay with not being in, like, one of the side coach participants.
Yeah.
Even though, it's something I wanted to do from when I first started doing improv.
I remember you told me that about side coach, like, I think after Pure Fucking Energy did 10 weeks of show.
Yeah.
Because you're like, yeah, I got this crazy idea. And I'm like, that sounds so cool. I want to submit for it.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started doing improv, I remember my first improv team, like Time Cop, I was saying, we should do a show and we'll have, like, everybody get, like, side coached, you know? And everyone on my team was like, no. Like, no one wants to do that.
That's amazing. Get ready to wrap up because, like,
sure.
Yeah, I feel like we're near the end of, like, what this episode needs.
Okay.
What is something you're looking forward to coming up that does not involve you? Like a movie or a TV show or something like that?
Yeah. All right. Movies. Yeah, actually, there's a new movie coming out. It's written by, what's his name? He wrote Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Charlie Kaufman.
Oh, Animalusia, I think it's... I know what you're talking about. It's like the weird puppet movie.
Yeah, it's a stop-motion movie. It looks beautiful. I mean, like, Charlie Kaufman is an incredible writer.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to find a movie that it was a part of that I didn't love or find inspiration in.
Even Human Nature?
What was Human Nature? What was that one?
That was, like, the one with, I think, Rye Ziphon's in it. Where, like, this guy was, like, raised in the woods.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't see that one.
Okay.
But you know what was great? The one with George... I think George Clooney's in it.
Oh, yeah?
And I wish I was better with names of things. I feel like that's very helpful for podcasts. But he plays a game... So there's a game show host that is...
Confessions
of a Dangerous Mind.
Clooney directed that, I think.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh my God, that
Sam Rockwell was.
Sam Rockwell's incredible. I've run into him a bunch of times. He lives, I think, in the Lower East Side, so I see him.
You're right. I heard that he lives like near where you live.
Yeah, like I've seen him at like Zoom Schneider and like other places, and I've never gone up to him or anything, but like I've seen him a bunch.
It'd be funny if he lives in your building.
I don't think he lives in my building, but who knows? You never know.
You never know.
But yeah, so I love Charlie Kaufman. I mean, Eternal Sunshine was. I found inspiration.
I mean, I feel like it's hard for our generation not to love that movie.
But, like, so for me, I saw that movie and I'm like, my mind was blown.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so original, so incredible. And then after that,
years later, I saw Annie Hall for the first time. And, wow. Like, I saw it late. And when I saw Annie Hall, I was, my first reaction is anger at myself. That it took me so long to get to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. And so many of the things that I found, like, inspiring and beautiful in Eternal Sunshine, or that I thought were original in Eternal Sunshine, I sort of felt like they were done in Annie Hall. Like, the idea of looking at previous relationships, but, like, with your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you're just... It was a very... Annie Hall was a very meta movie. And I guess...
It really is.
I didn't think it was possible for... cinema in the 70s, and this is just me being stupid, you know, to be able to do what Annie Hall did. So, like, I loved, so I, anyway, both of those movies I really like a lot.
Cool. What about things that you're looking forward to that do involve you, like shows, plugs, Twitter, Tumblr?
I have a Twitter. I mean, it's just at Muntner. It's probably a waste to follow. Like, occasionally I'll tweet.
Okay.
My YouTube page is definitely... I'd love more subscribers. That would be really cool.
Guys, you gotta subscribe. What's...
Just Mike Muntner on YouTube, you know?
Or, Muntner.
Yeah, Muntner. Check out that Harold that I'm working on.
I'm gonna rewatch some of those, because, like, it's really funny. Like...
Thank you.
And we gotta talk about this Jared. And
sure, yeah.
I know Jared was down to...
I'd actually really...
I talked about, like, after his thing at Tennis Show.
Yeah, we should really, like, plan it out. Garbage Farts. So, like, in January, we should start... The plan is to start releasing videos weekly. We'll have, like, a video show, hopefully, uh-huh. Videology. I'd really love to do that.
Cool.
You know, book Garbage Farts for your improv shows. Book Jolly Rancher for your improv shows. If you want me to be in something, I guess just ask. I'll probably say yes.
He's a nice guy, guys.
But that's pretty... Yeah.
Are there more slots left in 10 weeks of show, like towards the end, or?
Yeah. If people want, they can still reach out. I'm finalizing most things. I've been terrible to some people and, like, haven't responded to everybody. You know, like, it's planning 10 weeks of show is kind of a headache. Because, you know, like, I look at this spreadsheet for, like, all 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And I try to book people. But then there are certain things, like certain special things on certain dates. So that doesn't work for every performance.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to overbook certain things. Like the roast, for instance, I was debating, do I want to have any other acts? You know, like, or is it just going to be the roast?
Yeah.
So people can reach out, and I'll try and be as reasonable as possible if someone really wants to.
Yeah. I mean, guys, he gave me a 10-minute long slot for... Total.
But yeah, so 10 weeks of show runs until December 15th, every Tuesday night at 10:30 p.m. You can see Mark Levy's Seamless when you come. It's a funny name. It's a funny name for it. I don't know that I would have called it that.
What would you have called it?
I don't know. Like, maybe Pizza Guy in Trouble. Like, you know, like, Seamless, I think of, when I hear Seamless, I just think of food delivery. Well, which, I mean, technically, I guess that makes sense. Maybe I'm the idiot then, you know?
Like, I mean, literally the first two episodes, the first whole episode is literally a food delivery.
No, I know. Like, I mean, it's just funny. I mean, it is funny. You're this guy who's completely out of his element, you know?
Maybe.
Well,
there's some weird
but
things.
But that's what I...
Yeah.
Fair enough. As it is right now, and, like, what I was watching today, right? Because what you have up right now are the first four episodes.
Right.
And
the fifth one is going up on Tuesday. Because
okay.
I always put up the most recent one, which is the one where we introduce a new character on. And it's a lot of singing in it.
Yeah. So, like,
yeah.
But with, so, like, what I see, what I find interesting, and this is, like, my filmmaker brain, you know, if that's a part
yeah.
of me, is the idea of this guy that's out of his element. Like, I love that idea. I mean, that's, like, that could be the hero's journey. You know, you have somebody,
yeah.
It starts, you know, like, you're just going about your day, you're delivering your pizza, and you get into this apartment, and you're just like, and you're just, everything's turned upside down, and you have to maybe become somebody different, do other things, and then, but how does it end?
Yeah, because...
But how does it end, Mark? I mean, well, it ends with you, you know, going fucking out and going back to your regular life, because that's the hero's journey. At the end, nothing changes. You go back to what it was.
Oh, it makes me so happy because the next one gets really weird.
Oh, does it?
It gets really weird. I might tell you off the air.
I went on this... I'm just going to say one
yeah.
more thing about the hero... So, like, I went on this hike this summer.
Yeah.
and it was very difficult.
Right, because you were in Costa Rica, Colombia. Yeah,
I was in Colombia, and I did a 4-day hike, and like I'd gotten bronchitis right beforehand. And I was on medication. It's like up through the mountains and down and whatever. It was very difficult. So like I had bronchitis before the hike, so I was kind of sick and tired at the start of the hike.
Yeah,
and at the end of it, I remember like we're in this van. Driving like just like this fucking bumpy road, like after everything,
yeah,
like really it's just a cliff just down. I mean, it's a mud dirt road cliff off to the side.
Oh my god,
it's like it's scary and awful. And this guy was joking me, he's like, he said to me he's like you went on the hero's journey. You were sick and tired in the beginning and you're sick and tired now.
Oh man, that's great. That's awesome. My plugs quickly, at MarkLevy85's, the Twitter and Instagram. If you want to watch Seamless, at this point there should be 7 episodes. They're all going to be all up on my YouTube.
But if not, the rest are coming.
And the rest are coming. And also, if you want to see them live, please come.
Mm-hmm.
I literally promote 10 Weeks of Show in every description.
Filmed in front of a live studio audience.
How many web series can say that?
You should. I feel like that Seamless needs that announcement, like at the beginning, like filmed in front of a live studio audience. You know,
if you want to get Demetria, do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, but you could just add that in after.
Yeah, that's true. I might do some re-editing afterwards. I actually really do want to like, edit them all together to like 1 10-minute long video.
Okay.
Just to see how it looks.
But it just keeps on going. I think it works out. Like, yeah. On YouTube, you know.
I mean,
it just
honestly,
takes you the next.
It
takes
it makes sense. Yeah.
It just takes you to the next one.
Oh. Well, because
I watched it today, so that's why.
Okay, well, I didn't think like that. Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, nothing, anything else? Also donate to my Indiegogo for All Is Fine in Sunny Florida. It's going to be a really cool production, either at the Crane or at Under St. Mark's in February for the Frigid Festival. Yeah, I'm proud of the show, and it's going to be a really great production. And come see it in February. We'll be talking about that later, of course. Mike. This has been awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark. Bye.